Lord God, as we gather here this morning, we ask that you search our hearts and help us to see that which is too hard to give up. Lord, as we reflect on this story of the rich man, may you be with us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. When you pack to go on a trip, how much stuff do you take?
Too much.
Too much. You read ahead. If you're going for a weekend, you know you can probably pack light, right? You check the weather forecast to see what you're going to need, and if you're lucky, you get a small bag and you go. But what if you go away for a month? How much do you pack? You can't predict the weather for a whole month. So can you get away with only one sweater? Well, what if there's a cold spell and you need one every day? Will it rain? Do you need to take a raincoat and boots? What about hats? If it's the summer, what's your pants to shorts ratio going to be? And if you pack anything like we pack for our vacations, you probably come home with clothes you didn't even wear while you were gone. It's a challenge. But if you don't know how much to pack, sometimes we think it's better to pack more, because if we take too little, then we don't have what we need. Even if it does take up extra space in the car, we'll pack more. Then as you travel, you have everything you need right there. But is that always the best way to travel? Is there a more efficient way to go about your journey? Well, today we're starting a journey. We're going to spend the next few weeks until Easter on a journey that we call Lent. It's a time of taking a good look at ourselves as we walk with Jesus toward the cross. Sometimes we like what we see, sometimes we don't. It's all part of the journey. But what we need to remember that while we're on this journey, whether we like what we see or we don't, we need to recognize we are walking with Jesus. We're not alone. In our scripture reading this morning, a man runs up to Jesus and asks him a very important question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now this guy must be pretty worried about it because he runs up to Jesus and throws this question at him. And Jesus replies, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." So Jesus responds, and he responds by listing 6 of the 10 commandments. And this, he's asking the man to consider them. It's kind of interesting that Mark changed one of them though. He changed "you shall not covet" into "you shall not defraud." You might wonder if this is not a bit of a query to find out a bit more about the man's history. We find out later that this man is rich. He has a lot of possessions. So maybe Jesus wants him to stop and consider how he accumulated his wealth. Now, though, it seems as though it's not a problem because the man replies, "Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth." So those 6 commandments Jesus offers, he says he's done them all his entire life as long as he can remember. It's interesting Jesus mentions only 6. What about the others? What did Jesus skip over? Well, if you look at those 6, these are the commandments which impact others. You might want to call them your external commandments, because they impact the world around us. Stealing, lying, respectfulness, adultery, murder, all of these things impact our relationships with other people. The commandments Jesus skipped over are in regard to our relationship with God. You could call these your internal commandments maybe, because they're a little easier to hide. We can't see them quite so clearly. And sometimes they're a little bit harder to even master than the external. But whether they're internal or external, they all have an impact, don't they? Having a right relationship with God and a right relationship with people around us is not an easy task. Okay, sure, the do not murder thing seems like a no-brainer, but when you think about them, there are things in our lives we're not proud of. For the man in our reading from Mark, he says he's kept all the commandments since he was young, yet he's still not sure he's going to inherit eternal life. Somewhere inside of him there are doubts. Somewhere deep inside, he's not quite sure if he's done enough or believes enough or has done all the right things yet. So he wants to know for sure. I'm sure we all have those thoughts at times. It's natural to experience some self-doubt or even outright guilt over things we have done. For the man, it seems like his possessions are the problem. Jesus tells him to sell all he has and give it to the poor. Then he can have eternal life. Now we read the man goes away sad because he has lots of stuff. He's got a lot of possessions. Is this the one thing Jesus could have asked him that is too hard for him to do? We don't know the end of the story except he left and he was sad. Jesus goes on to say that those who have wealth will find it hard to enter the kingdom of God. Now, having wealth is not a sin. What you do with your wealth could be a sin. If you treasure your wealth and your possessions more than your relationship with God and your relationship with other people, then we have a problem. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other God before me. Well, not me, but God. This includes our stuff. We can make gods out of many things, wealth and possessions included. It sounds like the man must have put his possessions ahead of his relationship with God. Is this why he walked away sad? Does he realize his sin when Jesus points it out to him? Maybe. Again, we don't know the end of the story, so we're not sure. Sin can cause issues in our life, and sometimes lots of them. Some of them are obvious because it clearly has an impact with our relationship with someone. Others are more subtle. We maybe can't see the impact, or maybe we even choose to ignore them. We know they're there, but if they're over there, they don't bother us. Reality is, though, sin is bad. It hurts our relationship with God. It hurts our relationship with other people. Lent is a really good time to start to examine what makes up the sin in our lives. Jesus talked about how it would be easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter heaven. Camels are big. They're used as pack animals often. So there is some debate about whether Jesus was being literal or he was being figurative. Some people like to think that Jesus was talking about a particularly narrow gate that travelers went through. And if the camels were too overloaded, they wouldn't fit through the gate. Other people think that Jesus was being literal, that it is easier for a camel to fit through a tiny eye of a needle. Either way, whichever way you look at it, this should cause us to ask some questions. Where am I when it comes to entering the kingdom of heaven? Where am I when it comes to having eternal life? Now, of course, you guys are all saints, right? You don't need any of this. We all make mistakes. We all have sin in our lives. It's the sin that builds up around us which is the problem. Like when we pack for our trips, we carry all this extra weight. It burdens us. It tires us out, and after a week of carrying it all around, we want to drop it and go home. In our daily living, the baggage is our sin. Even sins from our distant past can weigh us down. Things which have happened to us long ago can still have significant impact on our life today. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. There are things you just think about often. Things you have done, things people have done to you. You lie awake thinking about them at night. Some of this is your own sin, some of it is sin of others that they have done to you. Either way, it burdens you, it weighs you down. Some of you might even be holding on to it too tightly because it's become such an integral part of who you are. If someone were to take it away, you might get scared of how it will make you feel. In some sick way, sometimes you feel like it's a security blanket. Because this thing happened to you, you use it as an excuse for the way you behave in certain situations. Maybe ways in which you aren't very proud of. So as we enter the season of Lent, why don't we seek to be set free from our sin? Why don't we shed that baggage in our lives so we can be better people? Why don't we let God heal us of these things so we can come closer to Him? I'm not saying forget our past. That's not it at all. I'm saying we need to let God heal us of these things so we can move forward in our relationship with Jesus and with the people around us. We need to work towards being better disciples of Jesus by taking to heart those words of love. Love for God, love for our neighbor, and love for ourselves. Sometimes we need to take a few moments and let God speak to us about our sin. Because there may be things in our lives which are impacting others that we don't even know about. When Bev and I were in Steinbach 2 weeks ago for the church renewal conference, we were going to spend some time praying for people that we wanted to come to Jesus. And so as we moved into that time, a name came to me immediately. I knew exactly who I needed to pray for. As I prayed, God made it known that my actions and my words that I use when I'm in conversation with this person is hindering this person's ability to know Jesus more. This is a person I've known all my life. He was someone I was once very close to. But when I became a Christian, when I welcomed Jesus into my life, our relationship changed. We used to have common goals in life. But when I welcomed Jesus, my goals in life changed. His stayed the same. We still talk often, but because of our differences, we aren't as close as we used to be. I really wish this person would know Jesus like I do, or even more. But God showed me and told me my actions, my words, have pushed him farther away. I've judged this person and have not shown love. He never changed, I changed, and I let that push us farther apart. When God showed me this, it was a very, very hard pill to swallow. I wept. I was the problem, not the other person. And it's true, undeniably true. Because I know this now, though, I can work at healing our relationship. I still very much want to be close to this person. I want our relationship to grow again. I want to be like we once were. And now I can begin to treat him the way he deserves to be treated. And that is to love him and not judge him. God is in this process of healing our relationship, whether he knows it or not. And if I hadn't opened myself to letting God speak to me, I would have never known. I would have never realized the errors of my ways. And so I say, thank you, Lord, for healing me of this burden. When I wasn't even sure it was there. But now I feel lighter. I feel like I can grow closer to God and to my friend. If you were carrying burdens of your own and there may even be some you aren't even aware of, this is a good time to start the healing process. Over the next 6 weeks, we will walk with Jesus toward the cross. A cross he will die on for me, and he will die on for each and every one of you. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." My friends, Jesus laid his life down for you. He wants you to be freed from the bondage of your sin, of your past, so you can know him even more. How hard is it to get into heaven? It's impossible if we think we can do it ourselves. A large camel has a better chance of getting through the eye of a needle if we think we can get into heaven on our own. When Jesus told his friends this, Peter said, "Look, we've left everything to follow you." And he's right. Peter left his family, he left his livelihood, he left everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age and in the age that is to come in eternal life." Let the baggage go. For Jesus' sake, for our own sake. Let's let Jesus heal us of our sins so he can do great and wonderful things in our life in his name, and we can receive the blessings of knowing him more. If you want to give up something for Lent, what better than the things which keep us from knowing the full love of God in our lives? Jesus is inviting us to come, to drop our burdens, and to leave behind our excess baggage, and to come to know freedom in him. Freedom. Let's not be like the man, walking away sad because what Jesus asks is too hard. We never do hear the end of the story. Did the man spend the rest of his days staring at his stuff, wondering what might have happened? Or did he give it all away and come to know God more? What if we're the man? What if we're him? What if we make this story our own story? Jesus is asking something of you. He wants you to give up something in your life so he can work miracles in you. Will you walk away sad? Or will you walk toward Jesus, arms open, joining him in a new life only he can give? Jesus has done his part. He's given the invitation. Whether or not you RSVP is your own decision, but know this: whenever you're ready, he'll be there, waiting. Ready. The choice is ours to take, ours to make. So I invite you, this Lent, decide how we want to respond. Do we want to walk away sad, or do we want to come to know Jesus more and be healed of the junk in our lives? He's there waiting, ready to heal us and offer us love like we've never known. Thanks be to God. Amen.